Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the gospel lesson. Verse 36, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. And the prayer comes to us, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And so on. And we're living in a time when there is, right out on the surface, divisions, hatreds going on. You hear about it in the news. It strikes home. What are we saying? Jesus comes along and tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. But a Samaritan? Just to bring out that aspect. A Samaritan? Do you know how they were looked at by the general community? A Samaritan? They weren't even clean. They didn't know how to worship God. They brought in all kinds of crazy ideas. And the hatreds grew. And the divisions and the lines and the separations and a Samaritan? Well, one time when Jesus was getting ready to go up to Jerusalem and he sent his disciples to go into a Samaritan village and make provisions, they would not receive him. They wouldn't provide any place to sleep. They wouldn't provide any food because the hatreds ran deep. Samaritan? Do you know? One of the problems with religion is just when we think we've got it sorted out and everything moving in a routine and everything in its orderly place and everything else, along comes some guy like this fellow Jesus, throws everything up in the air and sends everything into confusion. A Samaritan. Crosses over lines here and there and doesn't leave us with the proper things put in place and ordered. A Samaritan. And so the lawyer comes to Jesus. The lawyer, they've got the Old Testament settled out. They know all of the commandments. They've counted 613 places in the first five books of the Bible where God said, do this or don't do that. They've got them all sorted out. They've got a lot of them ranked. So this one's more important than that one. And when you have to do this or that, you know which one to go with. And along comes Jesus, and he brings it right back to the basics. Well, how basic can you get? How about Genesis chapter 1, basic? Genesis chapter 1, where God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And what does that say? That says why this other person who's on the other side of the line, this person happens to also be made in the image of God. You know why the Old Testament prophets lit into the people of Israel so badly? It's a very basic reason. You want to worship God? Do you really want to worship God? And honor God and honor the image of God? Well, your neighbor who is created in the image of God, how should you treat someone who is made in the image of God? Who's my neighbor? Yeah, if we could sort that out, we could figure out who was to be treated as a neighbor and who was on the other side of the line, and you didn't have to worry so much about treating them well or nicely or anything else. Who's my neighbor? That's the thing the lawyer wants. I got all the commandments figured out, but I'm not sure who to apply this business of caring about my neighbor, who to apply that to. So in our nation, who's my neighbor? Lord, who can I say is on the other side of that line? And the ones who are my neighbor, then I can treat them this way, this way, this way, this way, and everything's pretty good. And the one on the other side, I can treat a different way. Who's my neighbor? And the Jewish people, the scholars, why, they'd figured out you do this on the Sabbath, all these things on the Sabbath, which leaves you another 6 days to not do the things that you are supposed to do quite as much. Who's my neighbor? And they've got the neighbor thing figured out. It's the ones who walk according to the will of God. But those others, those are the not my neighbor folks. And along comes Jesus and throws out every bit of that detailed sorting out and takes him back to Genesis 1. There's a fellow who's made in the image of God. No, he's not doing the right thing. So? No, he didn't act rightly toward you. So? Is he your neighbor? But Lord, what are we to do? Why, we've got Democrats in our church. What, we've got Republicans in our church. Who's my neighbor? We've got people who don't believe anything like I believe. How do I treat them? And they're not behaving in any way, shape, or form like I know that God wants them to behave. So? How are you doing at it? Who's my neighbor? And Jesus, taking him right back to the beginning, you go and do likewise. Oh, but we talk about change, and we need change, and because there's hostility and there's divisions, we need change. And usually the term change comes along with, well, we want this group to be in power and that group to be out of power, and that's change. That's our idea of change. But you want real change? I mean, actual real change? How about a fellow who comes along and his ideas are so completely different that nobody who's around him can figure him out, not even his disciples. They're in utter confusion half the time at the things that Jesus is saying or doing. And why does he act so completely different? Because he's from someplace else. Because he comes with the perspective, the viewpoint, actually of God. not our viewpoint of who's in and who's out. He comes with the viewpoint of God. And in the viewpoint of God, well, who's sinned? Have you? Yeah, me too. Kind of puts me on the out, right? And he comes along and he sweeps all of that aside because he's bringing the kingdom of God. It's totally different. And it has to do with the soul recreated by the gospel of life, by the word of forgiveness, and that word of forgiveness in Jesus Christ takes us sinners and makes us something else. Makes us forgiven sinners, makes us sinners who are purchased and won, sinners who are covered by the blood of Jesus, not a guilt-giving blood, finally, but a forgiving and sin-washing away blood, and then tells us to look at our neighbors. See that same blood of Jesus over them, because they've been redeemed. They've had their sins washed away by the same Savior. Now all those lines of division, they end up being swept away and erased as Jesus gathers from every nation and people and tribe and language, from every political party, from every perspective, from every age group, from every generation, gathers us all into his kingdom and unites us together in his forgiveness, and there we are. Who's my neighbor? We live in a world of injustice. So, and our tendency living in a world of injustice is to pile up injustices and to try and balance the scale. And he comes along, and instead of piling up the injustices, instead of judging, he takes all of the injustices on himself and carries them away. Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that in him we might be made the righteousness of God. Including Samaritans, even them, okay? Including those from the other political opinion, even them. Including those wild young people, even them. Including those old folks who like to sing those really old songs, including them even. And the question, who is my neighbor? That's a question from a human perspective that wants to draw lines. And the answer to that comes from Jesus, who takes sinners and makes them holy, who comes to us, and even when we were his enemies, God reconciled us by sending his Son to bleed and die for us. That's the kingdom of God. That's the who is my neighbor. The parable of the Good Samaritan, it looks on the surface like a question of how do I do righteous things? That's not what it's about. That's the question, but the parable is not about how do I do righteous things. The lawyer comes and says, what good works do I do in order to inherit the kingdom of God? Do you do good works to inherit the kingdom of God? Do good works bring the kingdom of God? Wait, that was different, wasn't it? Do good works bring the kingdom of God? Actually, yes. Not your good works, but the good works of this Jesus, who comes and reconciles sinners and gives forgiveness and makes us his own. His good works of redeeming us, his good works of loving us, his good works of perfect obedience. His good works bring the kingdom of God. Parable of the Good Samaritan, while it looks like it's about what good works do I have to do? No, it's about somebody else who comes along from a completely different place and he brings salvation. Who would that be? That's his name, Jesus. Who found us beaten by sin and half dead, with no way to recover, no way to get back to God. And he came along and carried us and brought us back into the kingdom, back into the relationship with God that we needed, back into life. In Jesus' name, amen.